I had preached close to 2,000 sermons. No way we can prove that. But what do you preach on the next one? So I'm going to preach this morning. Somebody said, "Well, you're really gonna tell what you felt." No, I don't think so. Although there's room for it. No, I'm just going to preach on something I probably would have preached on if it wasn't this gathering. Val and I promised each other we're not going to cry, so be a little stoic. And if we're going to cry, we're going to, you know, my dog is dead. Now you know. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Cam, I can hardly believe that you would have picked the songs because they were just exactly, I didn't confer with him. But I'm speaking from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19, and I'll try not to be too much wind and some content for you as we share here together. By the way, nice to see you. The first day, it's just all picture of newness, and here we are together. Can't think of a better thing I'd rather be doing than being here with you on a beautiful sunny day. Wow, beautiful. Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." What a powerful statement. What a beautiful picture. I've underlined it, but I wrote here, "But it gets better." That's true of what the Lord's told us. But as the Father in John chapter 20, verse 21 and verse 22, "But as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's what happened. Something so powerful, so simple. And so I thought of it. Let's take a moment together and see if we are ministering as Jesus ministered. Are we doing what he told us to do, to proclaim and to preach and to share? He came to minister to people. And I said, it's good on the turn of a year to say, are we doing what Jesus told us to do? And with that comes a great release, power, divine unction. And I thought, even here this morning, somebody could come to the Savior. And what a breakthrough that would be. And you'd always remember, he said, "I gave my heart to the Lord on that first day of the new year." So you never know. Anything can break out. Don't you believe that? Anything can break out when the Holy Spirit is present and we welcome him. So here's some questions to ask ourselves. Are we healing? Number one, are we healing the brokenhearted? Because that's what we've been called to do. To heal the brokenhearted. And there, it takes an army, not an audience. It takes an army to deal with that. Brokenhearted people are all about us, all around us. Everywhere we go, to this person, to that person, across here, over here, wherever it is, there's brokenhearted people. And we've been called not to be self-seeking people, but people that understand something of the anointing of the Spirit. And that because people's hearts are broken. I thought of that little boy that accidentally set that house on fire. 12 people died. It was just an accident, but it just took such brokenheartedness. You can hear this, and you turn to that, and you read this, and how do you ever, I just think perhaps only the Lord could ever bring any kind of healing. And there's so many situations. Somebody else has gone through a divorce. Somebody else has gone through an illness. And they're just broken. And we meet them all the time. And if you are open to the Spirit of God being on you, you will be greatly used. You will be in the flow of what God is doing on the earth. This is what Jesus is telling us, what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting for his coming. And this is the opportunity that we have. What are we doing? Well, this is the first thing. We're healing brokenhearted people wherever we can. And just even, as a brother here told us, I don't know if you remember, I lost his name, sweetie. Lauren Newell. Lauren Newell passed away. How many of you know, remember Lauren? Yeah. Yeah, he passed away at 6:30, I think, 6:45. Well, now you know something and I know something. There will be some pain for some people, and there will be some people that missed him. But it's just, again, another opportunity for someone to mend somebody's broken heart. Because you know somebody's heart is broken, that's for sure. Loosing and binding. All kinds of things where people are in darkness. And we come into their lives very innocently in some ways, and we proclaim the name of Jesus and the word of Jesus, and we realize that their heart is damaged, and that situation, that person's heart is damaged, and that person's heart is damaged. And if we are sensitive and not religious, but sensitive, we'll have an unbelievable opportunity to be his hand extended. That it's just like Jesus himself being here. If we call on his name and we invite his presence to come, and somebody wants prayer over here and somebody else needs it over here, and as we gently and humbly lower ourselves and say, would you like us to pray for you? And I just believe that probably something supernatural is going to break loose. And perhaps somebody would be healed, or somebody would be brought back to the cross, or there's so many possibilities that could happen, but it's all available. Binding up the wounds of people. And you say, well, I'm not this, or I'm not a minister. No, you don't have to be a minister. You just have to have a heart that's large and that embrace people and draw them in to Christ. Say, we are, by the mighty power of the shed blood of Jesus, that's their name. In the name of Jesus, healing is today. People say, I don't believe that this is for today. Well, it is for today. Because the whole Bible tells us about this. There's wonderfulness of it. And so we simply proclaim. And that's powerful. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, receive all that he has for us. And I said, that's so wonderful. And you and I could spend the rest of our lives healing the brokenhearted. That's what we're about. So give yourself a shake. It takes an audience, or it takes, an army, not an audience. It requires something large and focused. We say, we're here. We know our mandate is clear. Our mandate is clear. And as Marcel goes into the next level, next area, what will be the broken healing, brokenhearted people? There's nothing secret. It's just what we're supposed to do. And that's where we start. So number two, if that's number one, what's number two? The question, are we preaching deliverance to the captives? And again, I'm taking this from the scriptures. Are we preaching deliverance to the captives? And here's the question. What's keeping us from preaching deliverance to the captives? I know it is for me. When we talk about seeing somebody broken free from demonic bondage, it's kind of embarrassing. I think some of these are kind of embarrassing, so we don't offer, say, listen, I've been in situations where I could feel the darkness in that home. There was real darkness. And yet I was hesitant to say anything or to do anything for fear of people thinking, you're kind of a witch doctor? What in the world? And you worry a bit about that. Are we offending people? And then you say, no, this is in the Bible. This is what Jesus, I've come to bind up and to break loose. Oh my goodness, it's fantastic. So there's scores of people crying desperately to be free. They would love to be free, but they don't have a clue. And unless somebody brings Jesus to them, they're not ever going to hear. They're not ever going to hear. It requires that you and I would stir ourselves and say, my mandate is to bring freedom, preaching deliverance to the captives. And what a joy that is for us. I mean, is there anything better? Can you think of something you'd have that you had a chance to talk to somebody? It'd be the best part of your day. You would never recover. Say, I remember one day we went out and we just met this person and he seemed kind of open. And we went back to the church and we prayed and all these good things happened. And you say, how was your day? Are you kidding? How was my day? It was fantastic. It was fantastic because we brought Jesus to the scene and he is the great healer. He's the healer. We're not asking people to join a church. That's not their greatest need. The greatest need is they would come to know Jesus and they would experience the power of the Lord. And that we just marvel at it, that how wonderful that would be if everyone could know about the Lord. Is there anything finer? No. We see the thing that is, some people, you think you've got all the answers? No, I don't think we have all the answers, but I know we have the answer. He is the answer. And so the question is, are we preaching recovery of sight to the blind? Is it time that we should be laying hands on people? That's another kind of an embarrassing thing, isn't it? We say, you might want to come up for prayer. And say, we'd like us to pray for you. And say, oh, please. And then we're sometimes a little hesitant to say something because it seems kind of hokey. At least it does at my end of thinking about it. And yet, to lay hands on the sick and believing them to be healed. Imagine that we actually believe that. We believe that if somebody comes here today or tomorrow or the next day or 100 years from now, whenever they come to visit, is that we say, if anyone would like prayer, please come. And we would love to pray for you. We would love to lay hands on, oh, what are you talking about? That's kind of weird. Yeah, a little. But not when somebody's broken. And they're out of shape and out of condition. And they don't know who to turn to. And they're on the verge of going off the bridge. And then we come in and we say, no, there's something better. This is what you need. And we pray, we break the strongholds over their life. This is what we're called to do. There's nothing else. There's no other secret thing. This is what we do, to break the strongholds and bring healing wherever we would go. And then give all the glory to Jesus, all the fame and fortune to him. And that's powerful in itself. John chapter 14, what a great passage this is. He who believes the works that I do, he shall do also. What? And greater works than that will you do. Well, what were the greater works? Jesus said, this is what I did. Now I want you to do what I did. And we say, it's so. Us? We're going to do this? Yes. He said, this was my plan. Only greater things. Greater things. And I thought, yes, that's John chapter 14. Keep that underlined. That he has a plan that we would be used of the Lord in any way that we just say, Lord, I'm available. I'm available for what you want to do and purposes of God in my life. liberation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom from those that are bruised. Oh, man. So many bruised people. So many bruised people. I wrote in the notes, bruises, 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 bruises. So many bruises. Wounds from childhood. And that door opens and somebody comes in. And those bruises have never been healed, never been addressed, but they're hurting. Unkind words said when they were seven. Never got over it. Don't know where to turn. Religion seems not the answer. Deeds that they were victims of. People that abused them. And they come and they show up. And if we get this right, it will be the greatest harvest we'd probably ever see. If we get it right, that we're about bringing people and bringing their bruises to the Lord and watching what Jesus would do. Deep hurts. I don't know what more to say about it, is that there's people that are bruised, and you have to believe that, because we all look pretty good, don't we? Everybody looks good at church, and here we are, and say, no, it's fine, everything's wonderful, not knowing that they struggle with situations all the time, and there were deeds that they were victims of, generational curses, generational sins that have come down through the family. A spirit of divorce coming right through, six divorces in a row. You say there's something here, there's some stronghold, there's something there that's different that we should minister to if this person would allow us to. Bruised for our iniquities. That's what he said. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. Wow. See, a bruise is bleeding beneath the surface, but the bleeding is inside. The damage shows up on the outside, but the bleeding is inside. And so the heart of the person needs to be ministered to and touched and brought, the scripture brought to bear. And I wrote here, oh, the great need there is in the church and beyond for the bruised people, from the people who have been traumatized. And traumatized. Was involved in an accident, never got over that. Situation where there a whole pile, big long list of things that have been done to them, and full of hurts and pain. The pain. That is, as I was praying last night, I thought, Lord, if you call us as people, we'll never lack an audience. I think if you address a need, you'll never lack an audience. There'll always be people that are drawn, and we because there's a need, we are available to the Lord. The work of the enemy. See, there is not. This isn't just simple things. There is an enemy. And the work of the enemy is to rob, and many people have been robbed. Robbed of their finances, spiritually speaking. Robbed of this, robbed of that. So the work of the enemy is to rob, to steal, to destroy, and to kill. And that's the agenda. That's the demonic agenda. And we come on the scene and like a light. If we're living this, if we're available to the Lord, powerful things can happen. And the bruised, as they come to Jesus and realize that he cares about them and loves them, but he works through us. Over the years, oh my goodness, since 30 years ago, I can't imagine how many people came through the doors. And they came because they'd heard. I won't get into the story, but because it's a good one. But, yeah. What are you gonna do? Fire me? I was waiting for that. Told me that a Hell's Angel guy told him to go to the church, this church. Which we wouldn't have been around too long, I think, by that, as far as the building. And he went because a Hell's Angel guy said he should go. I said, could there be any more unlikely possibility? Because I would have been around. I didn't know. I thought he just looked a little rugged. A little rugged. But he got here, and he heard of the life-changing power of Christ. The power of God, and I thought, well, that's good. May it happen lots of times. That would be the thing. Bruised for our iniquities. And again, so many bruises. The work of the enemy is he works night and day to thwart you, to cause despair in your life. And of course, the question is: are we preaching the acceptable year of the Lord's favor? This is, in other words, there's a door open now. There is a judgment coming on the world that is going to come. It's going to come. But today, this day, this very day that I'm standing here and you're sitting there, we're preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. I mean, this is the year of favor. God cares and loves. The door is wide open. The door to the ark is wide open. And you can come. You can come because he loves you and loves me. And we have this great opportunity. It won't always be this way. Today, call on the name of the Lord for salvation. Call on him. Call on him today. Call on him for healing. Call on him for release from the darkness. That you can say, wow, it just seems different. Something's happened. Something's been broken over me. Yes, indeed. I get it. I get it. Why? Because the Lord came. And he comes down, symbolically speaking, but he comes down, the door opens. And because we welcomed him, and we were down in the basement, we were welcoming him before the service. And Marcel was leading us and guiding us. And we were down, what we were praying, that Jesus would let his presence be known. And we were crying, this is less than an hour ago. And the Lord, come, come, Lord. Set captives free, set people free, bring light and life. And may somebody come to know you today. And I say, amen, yeah, amen. That's so, so wonderful. And we want to be proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. See, accepting Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, it's the starting point. It starts. It makes sense to me. The very first thing that would happen in your journey, in my journey, is that we would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we simply, it's so simple. Lord, please come into my heart and save me from my sins, and I believe on you. What happens? Nothing. That's it. It's that simple. I mean, it's on the shelf level is here. Come. You don't have to, there's no other prerequisites, just come. And he won't turn you away. He won't turn me away if I call on his name. So we call on his name. We say, Jesus, please, I need you. And those powerful words, when we say, Lord, I need you, he comes roaring to us and presents himself. And we say, whoa, he doesn't wait you. He doesn't tease you. He doesn't dangle you and taunt you. He comes because we've asked him to come. And the power is amazing. But he's more than just a Savior. That's the starting point. That's where you begin the journey. But he's more than just a Savior. He's a Savior first, but he's also Lord. He's also Deliverer. He also is Healer. And he's the one who breaks the power of the curse. There are people that have curses over their life. They were cursed. People cursed them. Sometimes it was parents who would curse their children. That's what happens. And they go through life with these curses on their life. And nobody can help them because they maybe end up going to a church, but that's not it's not really the answer. The answer is the crucified one. And he's got what is all that is needed. So he's Lord, he's Deliverer, he's Healer. Breaks the power of the curse. And so we've come. What have we come to do? We've come to do the works and words of Jesus. That's our mandate. And what a great year it's going to be. Think about it. Think about the church here. The Lord will do amazing things. We were praying this morning. I felt that. I felt that he was well pleased. Well pleased. I think of Luke chapter 3, verse 22. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Wow. Descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Remember, this is a voice. This is big stuff. A voice comes from heaven saying, you are my beloved son. And this is with you, I am well pleased. And that's what we live for. We live for that voice. As we labor for him, we do the works and words of Jesus. And then we hear this voice, "You're my beloved son, I'm well pleased." That's what Jesus received. And it's the same for us that are here together. What pleases us the most is that we serve a Savior that's alive and powerful. And this, when we pray together, the prayer time is really vital. It's not a nice thing just to have. It's absolutely crucial. If you want the power of God and the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus, then you need it. We give ourselves to prayer so that when we meet together, there's a power that comes that's not, it's from the Lord. But you can't have it without prayer. And so when you're on your knees together, and we're just asking God to say, "Lord, thank you for touching hearts, thank you for touching lives." And we wonder why the service was so good. Well, why it was good was because we were praying and seeking the presence of God, the power of God coming into your church. And we need more than anything else. What would be worse than a dead church? I was going to say two dead churches, I guess. But what would be worse? Because that's what's going to happen if we don't keep it fresh, that we're having a living encounter with our, first of all, with individuals, and then a living encounter with every time we gather for prayer. And we're going for prayer, not because we've got nothing else better to do, because we know that's the power base. We say, "How's the prayer meeting?" "It's going good." "Good." Because if that's so crucial to the whole things, all the things that are happening. And it's going to be really an amazing thing. And so this is enough talking. Val and I really enjoyed the last 30 years. We thank you. Simon, come.
Board and elders, please come forward, please.
Was it the comment?
Please. You might be wondering what all these people are doing here. Just bear with us for a few minutes. It will come clear to you. Along with Pastor Marcel, Kurtz, and our staff, these are the leaders of our church that seeing through this transition. We are not done yet. We need to hire an assistant pastor, and we might be doing some reshuffling of the staff. So I'm just going to ask the board members to introduce themselves. Starting with the ladies, of course, and then I'm going to ask the elders to introduce themselves.
I'm Lisa Nicholas de Gonzalez, and I'm on the board.
Gail Mulfred.
Joseph Dharmaraj.
Simon Bodlack.
Kevin Podmore.
Sean Murphy.
My name is Alvin Relieve.
Jorge Mario Rios.
Carl Retke.
Richard Fladmark.
Before Pastor Owen came here, Richard Fladmark was one of our pastors here also. He's been faithfully serving us all these years. That's what we are hoping for Pastor Owen will do eventually. I was hoping not to cry and hold it together. I have two handkerchiefs in both my pockets. We want to welcome Pastor Marcel Kurtz as our new senior pastor starting January 1st, 2018. The members of the congregation ratified him on December 17, 2017, in a special general meeting. At that time, I mentioned that he was ratified unanimously. That statement was incorrect. There was one dissenting vote. I apologize for my mistake. I was chairing that meeting, I made a mistake. Sorry about that. There was one dissenting vote. I apologize for my mistake, I already said it. Now you, Pastor Marcel Kurtz, have much work to do to win that person also to the fold. Next Sunday, January the 7th, 2018, in fact, starting tomorrow, Reverend Marcel will be our pastor. He will be inducted as the new senior pastor of Valley Church in both services by Reverend Stan Powers. Could Pastor Marcel Kurtz and his family come forward so the congregation that don't know you will recognize you, especially your boys? This is Jordan, Christina, and Austin. Thank you. God bless you. Tomorrow, this Sunday is for Pastor Owen and Val. Next Sunday will be yours. So. Pastor Owen and Val, as you were preaching, I know it must have been difficult for you, so you were just wanted to be in the periphery today, so you won't cry. You have laid a good foundation for us. We want to build on that foundation. Not forgetting the past, but looking into the future, what God might do for us. And I'm also want to thank God for all you've done. You always talk about Reverend Pritchett, my children's children. The generation after will tell your name, provided our children and our children's children will be faithful to the Lord. What you have done for this community and for us. We ask the board and elders have written something which that is a copy of that was given to you, both identical copies signed by all the elders and the board members. So I'm just going to read that letter. My name is Simon Joseph. I am also one of the elders. Our dearest Pastor Owen Scott and Sister Val Scott, you have been our spiritual leaders since November 1st, 1986. As you retire today, December 31st, 2017, from the position of Senior Pastor and Office Administrator, we, the congregation of Lynn Valley Full Gospel Church, have much to thank the Lord for as you both have been selflessly served this congregation for so long. You both have never taken a day off from the service of the Most High and Holy God. For you, it was never been a duty, but rather a high calling, a ministry, and a service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Owen, it has never been a bad time for you Whenever one of us needed your time and attention to pray with us, to counsel us, to cry with us, and to empathize with us, for you, we are never an inconvenience. You were there on our children's birthday parties, our birthday parties, our anniversaries, our weddings, our dedications, our children's dedications, baptizing us, and helping us to bury our loved ones. Some of us have a propensity to mess up our life continuously in spite of the counsel, guidance, and direction you gave us. Yet, when we come to you again and again, you continue to love on us and pray with us. You are a true shepherd. We give thanks unto the Lord for every remembrance of you. Excuse me. Now, as you enter into a different facet of your life and ministry, we pray that we will continue to be a very important part of the next chapter of your lives. We will need your input and prayer from time to time, and we will always be connected to you. This is not a goodbye, just a turning the page to see what the Lord will do for you and for us. As he taught us over the last 31 years, we wait on the Lord expectantly and spur one another on. Pastor Robin and Val, since the announcement of your impending retirement, December 31st, 2017, we have been contributing to a retirement severance fund for both of you to express how much you both mean to us all. We appreciate and love you for all the sacrifices you have done for the sake of the gospel. All contributions from the congregation, along with the church contribution, have been deposited in your RRSP account at CIBC Lynn Valley. This fund is equivalent to your 2016 annual salary. That is 1 year of your annual income as a severance compensation. The congregation all as a whole participated in the sacrificial giving to meet the set goal of the church leadership. Pastor Owen, you always said how blessed you are to pastor Valley Church. The church you nourished, carried, cared for most of your adult life, want to thank you both for your generosity of time, talent, and resources that you spend on each one of us. Finally, some of us, you will be Owen, others, Pastor Owen. For others, some of us, you will be Val, others you will be Preach. And no matter how we address you, it is all born by the genuine respect, love, and admiration we have for you as a couple. May the Lord our God, Savior Jesus Christ, order your step. In Christ, board and elders of Valley Church. I'm going to ask Pastor Owen and Sister Val to come forward. So Pastor Marcel Kurtz and Christina, please come and pray for them. And actually, they can stand here. So that way, if the elders and the board can gather around them, they can turn around. And any congregation people want to join them, you're welcome. After the prayer, You can give as many hugs and kisses you want, and the service is dismissed.
Why don't we all stand? Let's stand together. You know, as I was thinking about coming to pray, I was wondering, is this a sad day? Yes, but it's also a day of celebration. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to cry. First thing I did after that big event we had with them is went home and looked up an article, How Not to Cry When You're Giving a Speech. So breathe, that was the first thing. But it's a day of celebration, too. Because 31 years, God has been faithful. And so while Owen may leave that role, God is still in charge of the church. Amen. And he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're going to keep focusing on him. Breathe. But let's pray. God has some great things. I believe as long as you have breath, you have purpose. And God has some purposes still for you guys. And so let's pray into that as a church. Let's pray for them. And so join me as we pray. Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we want to thank you. Hallelujah. We want to thank you for the years that Pastor Owen and Val have led here, have shepherded here, have led us to you here. Lord, we want to thank you for how you've used them. People's lives have been changed here. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, as we pray over them as a congregation, Lord Jesus, we know that you have many things in store for them still. This is not an ending. This is just, as we said in the letter, this is just a flip of the page. There's the next page, the next chapter of their lives where you're going to use them in wonderful and marvelous ways. And so God, as a congregation, Jesus, as a congregation, we want to say yes to your will for them. God, the purposes and plans, we want to say yes and agree with all that you have in store for this couple, Lord Jesus. God, we pray you would anoint them and use them powerfully, Lord Jesus, as they continue to walk and serve and love you and to do what you have called them to do. In some way, this is no different from when you led them here. You're just continuing to lead them. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray every blessing on them. Every blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We say thank you, Jesus. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm really excited about this. You know, when you get a promotion, this is a promotion. It's not a sideway thing or a demotion. It's a promotion. And right from the beginning, I had a picture from God of you writing in a leather-bound journal. And it's not memoirs, it's testimonies. And the words that you write now, and God is calling to actually start to pen those testimonies down, those words become a powerful tool as your testimony continues. It doesn't stop now. Your ministry doesn't stop now. Now people take those words as wisdom, and they use it as a ministry tool, as an encouragement for their ministries as well, and the callings that God has got for them. And God showed me to come and anoint your hands, because as you write, it talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, but how beautiful are the hands that pen those testimonies of what God has done. You have such a contribution to what Owen says and does and how he does things together in this unity. Father God, right now, we just commit this next season of promotion within this ministry field to you, Father, that you would be glorified, not just in testimony through words, but testimony of what's penned down, that becomes history. That, Father God, right now, as they step into a process of being history makers, we thank you for that. We thank you for the time served and the time that is yet to be served. In Jesus' name. And just anoint these hands, Father God. Your glory. Amen. Amen.
We just have one more. I'm going to let Ben take this.
Thank you. This beautiful vision that my brother, who I've never met, just spoke. This very morning in my prayer time, I was imagining Owen in a book. And I just had to come forward and say that because, amen, there is so much work. Owen and our family has been downloading your sermons for years, and we live in fear of the day when they suddenly erase off the internet. And so I've written a few books, and anything I can do, and I know others here who have done the same thing, anything we can do to help you in whatever God calls you to do, we're here for you. And don't let the wisdom that you have move on. And the Holy Spirit is working in and through you. And we feel it every day that you're with us. And we just are so excited for the next phase. So thank you. Yeah, bless you.
Well, we want to thank you for being here. And I know you'll probably be here for a while because I know a lot of people want to say they love you. And give you lots of hugs. So anyway, is there anything else, Simon? That's it? Okay. Well, may God richly bless you today and this week. Happy New Year. Next week, we will be 9 and 11 back again. But it's good that we could all be together today. So may God richly bless you.